You are listening to Dumpster Diving with
Janice
and Jane, and we are ringing in the new year 2024. What?
January 7th, everybody. At least
January 7th. We made it through the first 7 days of the year.
I'm calling it a win and closing it down. It's done.
Successful year.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Successful year. So actually, we really quickly on that note, we, with the wellness stuff that I do, I've been talking with my clients about how you will measure success this year. So obviously we do a lot of goal setting and that kind of stuff, but moving beyond that to next December, and when you look back, how will you measure success? So keep that in the back of your mind. We should come back to that at the end of our episode and say,
I love that. I love that. I actually have a different way to say it. For my clients, I usually say, what would make you throw a party at the end of this year?
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
You know, what would make you want to celebrate? What do you need to accomplish to make
what would make you want to vomit? You know.
Well, that too. That too. We're not looking for the vomit party. We're looking for the celebration party.
Wait a minute. Let's think about a vomit party for just a second.
We're not talking about my holiday
party. That's a reference to the last episode, everybody. So go. Jane's holiday party for work was, in fact, a vomit party. But we digress.
Congrats. Yes.
Congrats. We have made it through a full year. Congrats to you. Congrats to me. Bye for our YouTube watchers. And congrats to our listeners who stuck with us.
Yeah.
Fine. The whole time. And we do have, I know we joke about it because we literally, our numbers have, we've got a lot of work to do on our numbers, but there are a few people who every episode we put out, reach out and say, oh my gosh, I love this. Or, oh my gosh. So for you, you know who you are. Thank you. We love you. Thank you for being there every single time. Now, this year, we need you to make a goal of sharing, right? Like share with us. Yes, we love that. But share with the world and put it out there, right?
Yes, yes, we are doing, and today we're going to be doing kind of just a review of 2023 and look at all of the accomplishments that we've had,
but
also revisit some of the tough times that we had and where are we with them now, you know, what's transpired since then and how have we handled things. So we're just going to kind of have a smorgasbord of 2023.
I love it.
Close it out, official seal, stamp of approval, we're dripping wax and stamping it. And
yeah, like it or not.
We're moving on.
I love it. I love it. And we published 28 episodes in 2023. We were going to try to get to 30 and then do a 30 minute on the 30th. Da, da, da. And then I said to Jane, so I had the whole crew for the holidays. We had all six of our kids, two of our grandkids, plus a cousin, plus other people. And then in and out, we had a big New Year's Eve party, etc. And so I said to her this morning, the next time I say, oh, sure, I'll do that and that and that while all those people are here, remind me I'm full of shit and let's have a different plan. So 28 episodes got published in 2023. But you know what? Freaking so proud of us for that. Like, not to self-congratulatory, but we have freaking crazy lives. And we both already wear multiple hats, our full-time jobs, our side hustles that we do, et cetera. And on top of all of that, we did 28 episodes and got them published last year.
Right. And, you know, and so maybe not congratulate yourself, but you can congratulate me and I'll congratulate you. So then it doesn't.
Oh my God. Congratulations. You're amazing.
Oh my God. You're the best.
No, you're the best.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay. We both are. We both are. All right.
Well, you know, and if you're watching on YouTube and it looks a little drab on our video, it's because we're fucking around with different filters and sepia sounded, or sepia, or however you say it.
Whatever.
It's pretty cool. So let's get into the old timey days and
I love it.
Have some old movie.
I think we should just keep doing this because neither one of us is really committed. I'll speak for myself. I'm not really committed early Sunday morning to being all dolled up for a YouTube video. So I like the idea of using filters so we don't have to watch it.
And typically the only thing I'm committed to on Sunday morning is a little wake and bake. So I haven't done that yet.
That's right. This is pre-wake and bake.
Pre-wake and bake.
So so I'm looking through really quickly. And, you know, if you're a brand new listener, obviously we're going to encourage you to go back to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever, or YouTube, and just go back to the beginning, right? Because all of this started when we found each other via our crazy family members who were all out there on 23andMe doing shit. And so the history of all of that is already there. It's already documented, as well as our backstories, right? And why the kind of how we ended up discovering so much synergy across us had a lot to do with the, we, you know, share the blood of our father. We grew up completely in different circumstances, different parts of the world, etc. And yet there's so much synergy behind the shit we went through. And so that was kind of a beautiful beginning. Beautiful beginning. Yeah.
And that's a very curious beginning, because honestly, we didn't even know what the fuck we were going to talk about. We were just like, we need to do a podcast and we're just going to figure it out. Because in that first Zoom call that we had with each other, it was like the universe is aligned and we were like, oh my God, we are sisters because we share a personality for
sure. That's exactly right. That was the craziest part, right? Because we literally just got on a Zoom with a stranger and I think it was like two and a half hours later. Right.
Yeah. We're like, it's been like almost 3 hours. This is
and
awesome.
And from the beginning, the craziest thing is that it didn't feel like I was talking to a stranger.
Right.
Right. And so, so we decided we must be awesome. So we should start a podcast because the whole world should share in the awesomeness.
Right.
And here we are.
Not only that, because we're awesome, but because the rest of the world is awesome too. They just don't know it yet.
My God. Okay. Yes.
Bird in the background.
You're right. Your bird agrees with you, or your bird disagrees with you. Listen, I'm not sure which.
Here's the deal. This bird is in the background. I'm going to try to keep her quiet, but this may be a special episode where she has some input about.
I like it. Well, we said we wanted a guest for today, but we didn't get around to organizing anybody. So I think she's just meeting a need right now. So, your point, yes, that was one of the initial premises. And when folks go back and listen to the why and how episode, we do in all seriousness talk about like the why is that you and I have naturally been the people in other people's lives that they turn to for support and resources and coaching and advice and all the things. And so realizing that about each other made us say, gosh, wouldn't it be amazing to be able to like create a space where we could be available to share the things we've learned to the extent that they're helpful for people, to learn from other people as they come in as guests and write to us and all of those things. And then, you know, put that forth into, you know, the space of the world and see what happens with it. Right. So, yeah. And in all seriousness, our kind of purpose in life, right? I've always been very clear about this idea that I'm a big believer that we are all put on this earth to make it better, period. You know, start to finish, however long we have on it. And if we're not here to make it better, what the fuck, right? Like you're here just to like follow the pattern of going to school and getting a job and having a family and having some grandkids, maybe if you're fortunate to do all those things and then die, right? Like we're here to make the world better in the way that we can, small, medium, and large ways. And so this podcast really just, for me, is one more way to do that.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, this year, I mean, we got through the first year of us getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Getting to collaborate and deal with life chaos and have to be flexible with each other. I mean, you know, and all of those things. We've all had our, you know, we both have had our fair share of stress and heartache and everything else this past year, but that's all part of life. And if we can help other people navigate life in general a little bit better, just by one little thing that we said in one of the episodes or whatever, then mission accomplished. You know, because we're not trying to save the world, but we're just trying to share some of the things that we've been through and some of the heartache and pain that we've had to work through and share the ways that we've done it. So that maybe it helps somebody.
Exactly.
One person. Yep. I'm cool with that, you know? So that's what we're excited about. And, you know, I'm excited about this upcoming year because we're working on a lot of things behind the scenes. We're not going to talk about them right now because, you know, it's things that we are brewing up, but hopefully by this summer that we can start discussing, you know, openly with our six listeners.
Hey, sometimes there's a seventh.
There is a seventh, but you know what? We love you guys. And we know that you're going to grow and we know that you're going to share when you feel it's appropriate. We never want to force anything on you guys or anything else. But if you hear something awesome and you think that somebody else would love to hear it, send it to your friend. Just send that episode to your friend and let them listen.
Exactly.
Bro, you don't put the whole, you know, you have to listen to every single episode because, you know, everything. Yes, there's great things in every single episode. There's also some stupid shit too. So, you know, you'll be entertained and learn something. But let's get into it. Let's talk about, you know, where we started last year and where we're at now. Let's just, you know, hit some highlights and wherever you see that something has changed or there's an update, let's hit on it.
I love it. Well, and we you know, I think that we've kind of talked about the first several episodes, right? The getting to know who we are, why we're doing this, digging into both of our backstories, et cetera. But I will say some of my, in all seriousness, a lot of them are my favorite episodes, but I really have valued, you know, early on, especially, we definitely did some episodes with other members of our Doxy family, right? A whole part of the premise of this connection for us is that, you know, we are two of 12 that we know of siblings who were born to the same father across multiple marriages and relationships, et cetera. And so we've been able to bring in, we brought in our cousin Dylan, we brought in our cousin, oh my God.
Your cousin, Dina.
Thank you. I don't know why I just, Dina, sorry, Dina, I just blanked on your name. Yeah. We brought in a couple of our stepsister cousin, right? Folks to flesh out that history a little bit more and that story a little bit more. So those were a couple of my favorites that I really loved. How about you?
Yeah. I definitely love spending time with them. If you haven't listened to those episodes, they can be very emotional, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of, unresolved or unprocessed information that we've learned over this past year. And so have our siblings and half siblings and, you know, I joke about Dina being our sister cousin, but it's really true. She's our sister cousin, but a lot of things that she's had to process through too. You know, I mean, she realized who her father was this past year.
Yeah.
She's 51 years old, you know, I mean, like, or I think, or maybe she's a little bit older than that, or maybe a little bit younger. I'm not sure. Sorry, Dina. But, you know, she just got confirmed who her father is. And she found out that she has a sibling who is our cousin Dylan and another sibling, I should say, and stuff like that. So it's like, there's a lot to unpack and there's a lot of, you know, anxiety around that and why me and what this, you know, I mean, same with us, you know, I mean, because you found out last year or the tail end of 2022 that, you know, you had all these siblings and a father that had passed away many, many years ago. Yep. So the chances of you meeting or discussing or anything like that is gone, but you have us to learn about them through. And I'm sure that there's things that you are like, you know, like I need to think about a little bit more. I've learned some stuff about, you know, you and my other siblings that I've had to process. Yep. It's not just family stuff, but it's just everything. It's work stuff. And we go into those topics. So it's been a lot of fun. I've had a ton of fun recording with you. Like I feel, you know, I feel like I have definitely gained, you know, the sister that I always wanted, you know, in this whole process. And I'm very thankful. And so if we can bring that positivity to other people that may be in a similar situation and get them to think outside of their own box, you know, then, hey, you know, none of us asked to be here.
Exactly.
Out there. Nobody asked us to be here or nobody asked us to be here, or asked our permission to have us.
Yeah.
You know, so here we are, you know, handling the life that we were given.
Yep.
And it's how you handle it is how you move through your life and succeed, you know?
Well, and that's, you know, and we get into that a lot at different points, I think, across our episodes. Folks will see that, you know, it's like you said, nobody asked to be born, right? And certainly we have no control over the circumstances we're born into, and recognizing that, you know, that's random, right? It's completely random. And depending on your religious beliefs, maybe you feel like it's more specific than that. But in general, right, we don't have control over it. We're born into whatever we're born into. And one of the takeaways, I think, for me is, you know, is really even more deeply understanding this idea that if we can just take 5 minutes and put ourselves in somebody else's shoes, right, and really think with an empathetic lens, because again, nobody asked to be born into conditions that are challenging. You and I are walking, breathing proof that you can be born into that, right? To just shit and still turn into an adult who has a life that's filled with joy and all the things, right? But there are some folks who continue to struggle, right, as a result of what they were born into and what they've gone through or what they've gone through over time. And yes, I love that the way you put that, Jane, that, you know, together we have this opportunity to shed light on what's possible, right? Because we do believe that it's possible for any and everyone. And sometimes you just need those bright moments, and we hope to continue to bring those bright moments. And I've learned so much from you from the perspective of, you know, watching you navigate the challenges that life throws at us. And really respect the heck out of your perseverance and your commitment to your family, right? Which is something that neither one of us had modeled for us.
No, no.
And so it really does truly come from within. And watching you do that has been really beautiful for me.
Oh, thanks you. You're welcome. I can't talk
today. You blew it by saying.
I blew it. Thank you. And just as a precursor or a side note, I have a terrible chest cold, you guys. So I may have to go off and cough my ass off real quick.
She's got a bird. She's got a cough. I will improvise when you leave. Don't you worry. Monologue and a dance. So those are some of the things, but I also love that we interspersed it all with that kind of heavier stuff, that more serious stuff, if you will, like you said, was a lot of fun, right? We brought in some really great guests this year, and we're hoping to bring even more guests this second year. We had my sister-in-law Lauren on for the Mother's Day episode, which was really powerful. Because again, we usually think about Mother's Day in terms of like all light and airy and wonderful. And the fact of the matter is, our relationships with our mothers are very complex, regardless of how wonderful or not they are. And so we kind of got real about that. We had, of course, JP, who you introduced me to, who I love and adore. And he's been a recurring guest, and I know he'll continue to be a recurring guest.
He will be back. He will be back. I don't think he can stay away from us. I think that he has a lot of fun with us.
Yeah.
And I think that whenever we have a recording with him, we're the highlight of the day for him because he's the highlight of our day.
Amen.
To be quite honest. He is just such a fun and interesting man. I just love him to pieces. I really do. And he's actually helping us with a little side project. So we'll get into that further into the year. But I'm very proud of us for sticking to it.
Yeah.
And despite what, you know, all of the challenges that we've both had over the year. I mean, your work schedule is chaotic. Mine is too. You know, the families, and all the extras, you know, it's really not hard to navigate work and family.
Right.
It's hard to navigate when you have so many extra things going on. And this is actually one of the extra things.
Exactly.
You know, this is something that we don't have to do. We could just, you know, spend time with each other. But again, you know, I have a more global thought process when it comes to, you know, helping people and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, this is the best way to do it. So, you know, you said the family episodes was one of your favorites. I really love the goal episode from February 5th. I mean, that one, we were just cracking up. I reflect back on the times that I've sat and listened to our episodes, which I've listened to all of them on my own time, just driving to work. You know, I have a long time to work or coming home and just laughing my ass off at us. Yep. Like, I'm like, we are so freaking silly. We are just silly and witty. And I love that about us is that you know, you never know what's going to come out of our stupid mouths. And
we never know what's going to come out of our stupid mouths.
We never know. We really don't know. I'm sure we've surprised each other and ourselves a couple of times. But I love that through all of the seriousness that we speak of.
Yeah.
They're very heavy topics and stuff like that. We can still laugh our asses off and find the brighter side of
exactly.
it. And just go, you know what? But that's how we've lived our lives.
That's it.
Honestly, comedy is like such good therapy. And if you can't laugh at some of the things that you've been through.
Exactly.
I was just explaining that to one of my employees. She took a nasty spill coming out of her house the other day. And the house that she rents has tile outdoor. On the outside. Yeah. And it was raining. She slipped, hit the stairs into a cactus. Like she was.
Fucked up.
And I sent her a text and I was like, you know, in like a month, you're going to be laughing about this, right?
That's her. Like, I will be counting down the days
right now, but I can't wait to hear the real story and laugh my ass off with you because this is amazing, right? And she's like, yeah, champagne. And I'm like, no, you will. I will make you laugh about it.
Oh my God.
If you can't laugh at it and just, you know, really just go, okay, it is what it is. Then why are we living life?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Oh, I love that. Love that so much.
That episode tickled me.
I love that. And I love that you just, because that was a relatively short episode and you took so much away from it. I also want to make sure, we need to look at the timing of this because I can't remember when, but it might, I don't even know if it's out there yet, but remember back in September, we actually did an interview with Meredith Inger from She TV.
We did.
Who we met through JP. If you guys haven't seen that episode, go back. It was published on September 4th, but, our focus in that conversation was a documentary they were working on called Unmasking the Scars of, no, that's not what it was called. I just lost the name of it, but it's about unmasking the scars of domestic violence. And they interview and they follow three women who've gone through, that experience. And really it's designed to be like this uplifting documentary, right? That really gets more toward what happens after versus focusing on what happens during and up to, which is what you typically see when you see those stories. Mm-hmm. And Meredith was just fantastic. And what a freaking powerhouse woman she is, right? Starting her own company in that field, in that industry. So that was one that I really loved. And then I loved that we introduced at the second part of the year, our fireside chats.
Oh my gosh. I love the fireside chats.
Yeah.
They're so much fun. I mean, yeah. The one about being a cult.
Oh my God.
I just loved that one. And there was a more recent one too, where I actually reached out to you and was like, we're fucking funny.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one it is, but
I think it was the Eerie Encounters one, the Halloween one.
Oh, the Halloween one. Right? Yes.
Oh my God.
We're talking about the Ouija board charcuterie.
Funny. Yes.
Like, you know, I love being silly and I love, you know, little jokes and stuff like that. But that episode really had me in stitches because it was just like, you know, telling a scary story and then you're sitting outside and you're like, great. Now you're talking about creepy dead kids, you know, and I'm like, hey, guess what? You know, I don't know what to tell you, but
it was awesome. And I think that, you know, what I love about those chats is that, well, first off, I think people who listen to us more than one time have figured out we try not to take ourselves too seriously. Like, we feel like we have a lot to offer, but we're also not like pretending to be experts on frankly anything, right? We're just experts on learning from life's lessons and then sharing them with other people. But the Fireside Chats was a space for us to say, listen, even though we drop the F word sometimes, we are a little bit PC in our regular episodes in terms of like really wanting to make sure we're very clear about talking about all the hard things in a way that invites people in and doesn't shut anybody out. Our fireside chats are more about not shutting people out. None of it is, but it is about like being very clear about our views and our personal opinions about things. And so some of them have been fun, like the Halloween one. Some of them have been more serious. Like we jumped into one early on about gun violence, right? And we just had first week back to school after the holidays, another fucking shooting at another school, this time in Iowa. And honestly, hardly made the news. Like what I paid attention to after the first day was, okay, how much it's hardly made the news because we are so desensitized. We're not going to go down that tangent rabbit hole again right now, but that's why we created that episode because we own our responsibility. If we're going to be in this space, no matter how many listeners we have, we own our responsibility for making sure that we speak up, right? In the ways that, and for what we believe in, right? And so Fireside Chats are going to continue to bring that opportunity for us as we come into year two.
Yeah. And there's a ton of topics that we could cover, but, you know, I would love to shout out to our listeners or, you know, whoever they're sharing it with and new listeners, you know, if there's a topic that you want us to cover.
Absolutely.
Yep. You know, because we, you know, we can adapt to any story and also, you know, give our two cents on it too.
Yeah.
So if that's what you want and you want to know what our opinion is on something that's topical, just let us know and we'll include it in a topic. Doesn't have to be all our ideas all the time. Yeah, so
exactly. Love that. And so much of, I think what we end up talking about is the stuff that just comes up in our day-to-day life, you know? So we wrapped up the year with really navigating holidays. There's a lot of stuff there around that because, again, we've got a lot of experience about like things that can be helpful, things that can be hurtful, all the things. And I fully expect that we're going to see that trend every year, right? Because every year is a new year. And those bringing those experiences again from real life and helping people think through them. And sometimes people just need to know like somebody else is going through it too, right? Like just that experience in and of itself is. Right. I think something that can be of value to folks. So, you know, again, in all seriousness, like we can't thank you guys enough for sticking with us. And we're going to lean into you this year and really hope and ask and, you know, maybe beg a little bit that you start to share. And Jane, I loved your idea of like, not necessarily trying to convince somebody to go watch everything, all the things, but maybe as you're listening to an episode and you think of someone you care about and you think, God, it'd be great for them to hear this. Just send the link, a quick text with a link that says, oh my gosh, you should listen to this. Right. And then we'll let it grow from there.
Yeah. You can text it right to your friend. You hit the little square with the arrow pointing up and you just send it on to them.
square with an arrow. Oh,
but speaking of things that were, you know, similar things that we're going through, you and I have a very similar similar thing going on right now.
Part two of this episode is about real life.
Oh, God. Guys, we both have, well, she has a 16-year-old daughter, and I have an 18-year-old daughter who are both learning how to drive. And they both have their learner's permits. They've passed the paper test.
Yes,
now they have. It's time to get on the road.
Yes, they have. It's,
you know, it's very stressful.
It is. And so this part is going to be all about, like, how to parent when you're teaching your kid to drive. What not to do.
What not to do, because I did something yesterday or Friday.
Jane's going to start us off with not to do, because lots of times we learn so much about hearing the what not to do story. So take it away, Jane. How's it going over there?
Oh, yeah. So it's going good, actually. You know, Chase is a excellent golf cart driver.
Oh, impressive.
Yeah. So because if you can drive with a golf cart, you can drive a car.
Obviously. Duh.
Yeah, boy. So that was her claim to fame before she got her learner's permit, is that she knows how to drive a golf cart and everything's going to be just fine. You put that said child in the driver's seat of her mother's car, the only car that she owns.
That's right.
And says, okay, let's hit the road. I'm going to be a little nervous. Now, I will say this. I am being a lot better than I thought I would be.
Nice.
I thought I was going to be not good at all. Right. Like, don't even, you know, because I'm not a control freak, but let me just lay it out. I'm a single mom. I have one car. I need to get to work. If that car gets wrecked, I have nothing.
That's right.
We're telecommuting, which I can't really do with the position that I hold. So therefore, we cannot wreck my car. So we've been doing driving. We've been doing driving the last couple of weeks, ever since she got her. I'm like, cool. Side street, or like, you know, neighborhoods, side. We're not taking the freeway, anything like that. But here's the deal. She wants to buy a car and she needs her license. So she needs to get her practice done, because she can't buy a car without a driver's license.
Yes.
So I said, you know what? We're going to Six Flags on Friday afternoon, going out for some fun. Why don't you drive to Six Flags? There's a back freeway. It's a highway, not a freeway. So it's two lanes. You'll be fine. Are you sure, Mom? Yes, you'll be fine. So we're driving and she's like, okay, I can do this. You know, we're on the 118 and we're just cruising. You know, it's two lanes, everything. Well, I put in the directions because I didn't want to pay attention. I wanted her to just do her thing.
Yeah.
And so I hit the button to go, and here we go. Well, then the directions bring her on the 405.
Oh, God. Oh, so it's your fault. You didn't have this little detail.
It's totally my fault, you guys. But before we got on the 405. We're getting off the 118 two-lane highway onto the 118 four-lane highway.
Okay.
Still nothing like the 101 or the 405
or
the 110 or anything like that. It's pretty chill. And for a Friday late morning, we're cool.
Right.
But as we're taking this hairpin turn onto the freeway.
Like a cloverleaf, right? Like one of those.
It's like, yeah, one of those where it's like a real tight turn, but it's like, you know, you can't really see where you're going. I did something you shouldn't do, you guys. I freaked out. Chase has this thing where she turns like a little bit at a time, not like a nice swoop. It's like, And we were heading straight for the on-ramp's wall.
Right.
And I'm like, turn. And I yelled and she wasn't doing it. And so I pulled the steering wheel and got us back in the lane, because we were actually in the shoulder at that point. And I'm like, And of course she's like freaking out. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I had to do that. I knew we weren't going to hit it. I'm like, oh my God. I go, okay. So there's my bad, you guys. I shouldn't have grabbed the steering wheel and everything else. I have never done anything like that in my life before, but she literally scared me.
Yeah.
And I told her that. I said, it was fear that we were going to hit that wall. I'm so sorry. Cause now at that point she's crying. You yelled at me. And that's how you know you don't yell at your kids, guys. Is when you do raise your voice and then they start crying because you yelled at them.
Exactly.
That was actually a good moment for me, because I'm like, see, they don't know what yelling is like.
That's right. Now you know
what yelling's like, because we don't yell in my house. Like, we just don't. And it's nice and it's calm and it's peaceful. And
yeah.
And I, It's very rare that I raise my voice. And so, and growing up in a household where all you heard was screaming and yelling, yeah. it's very nice. And so I was like, okay, mission accomplished on that part, but then I just fucked up that. So now I need to, so I kept her going and we got onto the 405. It was scary for her. There was semi trucks everywhere and stuff like that. And she's freaking out now. She's like, why'd you do this to me? And I'm like, I didn't realize, I just hit go. I'm sorry, but let's just get through it. So we got through it. She made it all the way to Six Flags.
Love it.
Still crying in the parking lot. I gave her a big hug and I told her I was sorry. It's totally my fault. I didn't mean to yell at her or send her in that direction, but you did it.
Yes.
You did it. And how do you feel? She's like, ugh. She was stressed out. She was mad at me for a good hour and a half. And then she kind of calmed down.
Yeah.
So all that being said is we're still driving.
Yeah.
We're learning. And my stress got the best of me in that moment, and it was not a beautiful moment. And I deeply apologize to my daughter, not justifying why I yelled at her, but just saying, you know what? I was wrong. I shouldn't have yelled at you. I shouldn't have grabbed the steering wheel.
We all make mistakes, and, though.
Yeah, exactly. And that was despite the reason for it.
Yes.
I still put her through that trauma. And, and I was like, look, I did totally not.
Yep.
What I wanted to happen. And it was me being fearful too. So I'm sorry. And so it just apologize to your kids, guys, because oh my God.
I love the modeling though. And so when we decided we were going to chat about this today, when we realized we were going through this together, I wrote down like three or four things that I'm like to walk away with. And one is patience, right? But the example you just gave us, Shane, it sheds better light on that, because it's not just going in with the intention of being patient, but also being patient in the wake of fear, right? Like fear is a really, evolutionary emotion, right? And it's built into us for survival purposes. And so, you reacted on instinct, right? And so, but knowing that it's going to take a great deal of patience. So Cam just got her learners literally the week after winter break started. So as soon as she had made the appointment, all the things. Yeah. So she just got it. So I take her to DMV. She does all the things. She gets her permit. It's all good. And she's like, and she was so funny because we're waiting in line at DMV and she's like, so you're gonna let me drive home? And I started laughing. I was like, do you want to drive home? And she's like, no. I was like, exactly. We're going to start in some parking lots, girl. Right. Like we're going to start small. So start small, by the way, is the second piece of advice I have for you. Start small. Start in places where you know they're going to experience success, right? So you set them up for success. And so, you know, we did, right? We started. And what I loved about Cam, and although I think it's already waning and I think it's too early, but she has a healthy dose of fear, right? Which is good. You want your kids to be a little bit scared of driving. And she has a healthy dose of us. But even after just the first few drives, I could see her being a little bit more cavalier. And I was like, girl, like, you got it. You should still be scared right now. But the funny thing about her is, so our current vehicle situation is that we have two Teslas and we're leasing both of them, and they're both new leases. We made those decisions for a lot of reasons, and most of which has to do with economics in terms of gas, the price of gas here. By the way, it occurred to me when Jane was listing off all of our freeways, for those of you who don't live in California, right? Like the 405 or the 5 or the 110, those are all like the beltway around DC or whatever your biggest highways are near you. That's the comparison.
Same juncture. Yeah,
exactly. So we really quickly went from parking lots to, I took her on Base because Base is a really safe place to be on a street, but it's a very protected street. So she, over the first course of the first week, went right from parking lots to that, being able to drive on those streets. And then we had our first drive from point A to point B on the regular roads, right? And it literally was just, I was picking her up from work and it was nighttime. So it was her first nighttime drive. And I stopped in the local high school parking lot, let her tool around a little bit, and then said, all right, drive home. And it's like 2 miles. So it's very, you know, it's in a community. It's not crazy. So she did. And she got behind the wheel. And like you said, like, I'm actually really good about masking the stress. And so being able to sit in the other seat and go, okay, so you're going to slow down. You're going to have to slow down. Okay, take your foot off the gas, right? And by the way, I mentioned the Teslas because the older children are the ones who are all balking and going, are you kidding me? She gets to learn to drive in a Tesla. Do you know what I got? And so it was very funny for the whole winter break with all the kids home. But it is a different kind of driving. And so she has to, but the good thing is she's driving with her mom too. So she's going back and forth. But anyway, so we're nighttime, we're driving. It's like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And she does pretty well. Like, again, you know, having to say like, okay, take your foot off the gas. Like when I say slow down, that means stop accelerating, right? Like that's what that means. But we only had one part, and it was a part where there's a relatively new roundabout, you know, exchange.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, nobody in my fucking community knows how to drive through because everybody barrels into it versus yielding. And so if you're in my community, I love you. Freaking yield at the roundabout. Anywho. So we're going into it and I'm teaching her to yield. Like if you're not in the roundabout, then you have to yield, right? You don't just go into the middle of traffic. And she does that. But then she starts to go in. And, you know, if you've driven in a roundabout, they are tricky the first time you do them, right? Because yeah. You have to like, this is a pretty small one. So there's not a lot of space. It's one lane. And she, you know, she's going and she almost hits the curb, right? Like in the middle, like the barrier in the middle, and she gets around it. And we finally pull into our driveway and she parks. And as soon as she parks, I'm like, like, and I looked at her, I said, how are you? And she was like, she took her hands off the wheel and she was like, oh my God. Oh my God. So she too was doing a good job of masking like the stress she was feeling as a result of that. But, so overall, so far, so good. The only struggle that, and I think it's common for new drivers, is, you know, that space, like curbs and stuff. We're like, you can't, it's a leash. Yeah. You can't fucking scrape up the, like you said, it's my only car. It's a leash. Yeah. You can't scrape up the wheels. And, anyway, but, and you know, she's been with her mom for the last week. So driving with her mom as well and doing a lot more of it. So she's had a lot more practice on surface streets and stuff like that. So as far as I know, she hasn't been on a highway yet. We get her back this evening. So I'll find out if she's been on one of them. But honestly, I kind of am glad it worked out that way with Chase. Like you said, now she knows she can do it. Because the first time is freaking terrifying.
Scary. Yeah. And especially, you know, like one of the major freeways like that, like you have to, in here in California, you have to drive defensively and offensively at the same time, at all times.
Exactly.
Because you never know. And it's just like, so here's... The other time where I yelled at her.
There's been more than one, everyone, in case you're counting. Oh,
the first time. Well, this one we laugh at a lot because I was like, are you freaking kidding me? So we're going to go pick up. So I have like an adoptive daughter. Her name is Emma. It's one of Chase's best friends. They've been friends since we moved here. So we've been here almost 5 years. And this girl spends the night all the time. Like last night, Chase sent me a text. It's okay that Emma spends the night tonight, right? And I was like, no, never. I was like, why are you even asking me? Like,
right.
Because I just want to make sure. I'm like, I appreciate you and love you. Yep. Okay, it's fine. So whenever she spends the night and has to work at Starbucks down the road, Jane is driving her to and from. You know, and her parents have done enough of that for me and stuff like that. So it's not a big deal, right? So she's like, we got to go pick up Emma. And I was like, okay. So I was like, well, she's like, can I drive? I'm like, sure. So we take the back roads. You know, there's a little like a mile of a freeway you could take, or you could take a couple miles in the back roads and you drive through the farmlands and stuff. And so we did that. We get to Starbucks. She's pulling into the driving spot. And now, mind you, in front of the parking spots, there's like this little berm of grass.
Yeah.
It goes down to the sidewalk and then the street.
Yeah.
Well, apparently in the spot that she parked in, excuse me, the grass had overgrown onto the curb, so it was almost like a little hill.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
She pulls in, and then all of a sudden, we're going up the hill, and I'm like, stop, stop, stop! And I, and she finally slams on the brakes. We are almost over the berm and into the sidewalk, and I look at her, and we're sitting there, and I look at her, and she's like, what are you doing? She's like, I thought I was hitting the brake. I'm like, well, obviously you weren't. Could you please back up gently? God. And so she backs up and I'm like, go get Emma. And I'm sitting out there and I'm like, oh my God, I almost had a freaking heart attack. I swear she was going to drive right into oncoming traffic. And I'm like, oh my God. And the car next to us, so I'm sitting there and I'm like calming my heart down. And I get out of the car and the guy that was parked next to us, they saw the whole thing. And he came out and he was like, how was that? I'm like, it was something. And he goes, well, at least you guys are okay. And I said, you are 100% correct, sir.
Yep.
We are okay.
Exactly.
And my car. I was like, and she's not driving home. And he just started laughing. I was like, I think I need to take an anti-anxiety pill and just mellow out at home. And he just started laughing and he was there with his wife and the kids and they were just kind of chuckling.
Oh yeah.
It like scared the crap out of me. But when she got back in the car, I was in the driver's seat, and you know, and we just laughed about it. But I was just like, these are the things, you know, you think it's so easy until people cut you off or honk at you because you're going too slow, or swerve into you, or the motorcycle or a bicyclist. Yesterday we ran into a, you know, didn't run into him, but we had an experience with a bicyclist. I'm like, okay. She's like, oh God. And I'm like, okay, just slow down, let him pass you. And then you can go around him to get into the right lane. She's like, okay. Yeah. And I told her, I was like, these are the moments why they need you to practice with a licensed driver. Because these are all the things that will happen when you're by yourself and you need to know what to do.
Yep.
So like different intersections, we had some intersections that were just blinking the red light. Okay, now it's a four-way stop.
Yeah.
So we've actually run into a lot of good scenarios to learn.
Yeah.
And so it's been a really great experience in that way. And I don't yell and, you know, like the only time I raise my voice are those two times. But otherwise, I'm like, could you stop hitting the brakes so hard and giving us whiplash? So she's gotten a lot better at easily slowing into stops and stopping a little bit sooner. And
exactly.
You know, so it's all been really positive and good. There's just been a couple of like scary moments, but for the most part, she's doing awesome. And the fact that she is so good at taking feedback.
She's coachable.
Oh my God. She's coachable as fuck. Yeah. And I love that because all I've been doing with them is coaching them for the last 10 years. Yep. So it works. And I got to tell you, if I wasn't a coach, you guys, and I was just the normal mom I used to be, I wouldn't be teaching my daughter how to drive.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I actually have some friends who, like, you know, were required. I think they're required that, like, you have to pay a company. They have to take like two.
If they're under 16.
X number of hours, whatever it is.
But they're under 17. You have to have driving school.
Right. So Cam's going to have to do that. And that's a good thing, right? Because I think her having an adult who's not her parent is also a good part of the driving process. But to your point, like I have friends who they have like paid a lot of money for those schools to do all the driving because they know they recognize in themselves and they have the means, right? But they recognize in themselves an inability to do it in a way that's actually going to be helpful. But I said that to Cam after the first or second drive. I was like, you're very coachable. And that's a good thing because you're able to, I can speak in a calm voice and know you hear me versus, I mean, my experience was a lot of yelling, right? Which by the way, that's kind of on the list of what not to do, right? Like yelling at your kid. It's a simple thing, right? When you think about how complex driving is, like you just said, Jane, and the fact that, you know, your kid has a multiple ton vehicle, right, under their control. And so it's terrifying because they can cause a lot of damage, just like we can as experienced drivers. But is this idea that if you wouldn't want it done to you while you're driving, you cannot do it to them while they're learning to drive, right? Like it's the worst, right? You have to, and if you're not in a space where you can be able to say the things calmly and be able to say them in a conversational way and not be an a-hole, then you probably shouldn't be driving with your kid. Like it's okay, right? But just recognize that in yourself.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Exactly.
A friend to help them or somebody that has a little bit better of a demeanor or whatever, because I was really, you know, at first she was learning how to drive with my ex-wife and in a stick shift. So that was a whole different situation. And so the fact that I have now an automatic, it makes it a lot easier, a lot more accessible, but it's all those little nuances that we take for granted because we've been driving for so long and we know every pothole in the road on the way to work and all of those things. So it was nice to be able to give her some of those hints, like hey, get in the right lane because that lane, there's the giant pothole.
Yep.
So, you know, and just teaching them like, look, you'll learn these things over time, you know, and you'll get more comfortable and you'll get a lot smoother with everything. But for right now, you need to learn all the safety and all of the, you know, everything else. So right now, I don't care that you're driving slower than everybody else. Don't feel like you have to go 80 miles per hour because everybody else is. But it's been an experience. This is the first child that I've taught how to drive or been with while they're practicing driving. And so it's been a big test for me as a parent as well.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I'm, despite the two moments of sheer panic, I'm pretty proud of myself for doing this and for raising a child that is so adaptable to different things. And trust me as the parent to help them, you know.
Absolutely.
I totally got the blame about the 405.
Well, obviously. As well you should.
You know what? It's totally my fault. I just hit go and I didn't look at the directions.
Have to be willing to take the responsibility too. And that's, we're constantly modeling that. We say that all the time. So big takeaways then from teaching your child to drive, whether that's going to be next year or next month or 5 years from now. Patience, right? Yes. You got to both have the patience for yourself and give yourself some grace, and the patience for them. Give them some grace. Start small, right? Like, don't jump into big challenging things, but just start them off in small places where you both feel comfortable. And even if they're pushing to go faster into other scenarios, you have to be comfortable too, because you want to be a good coach, and you can't be a good coach if you're being pressured. And a couple of other things we didn't touch on, and then I'll turn it to you for final thoughts, Jane. One is agree on expectations ahead of time about when they'll drive, how frequently they'll drive, because they're going to want to drive all the time, and there are going to be times where you just need to drive, right? And remember that when you're the driver, you can also be coaching them around driving, right? You don't have to save all that for when they're in the driver's seat. But agree on expectations, and then go ahead and start looking ahead to what's going to happen when they get their license, right? Because just like we did when we were that age, there's a thought in their head that as soon as they have the license, it's a free-for-all, right? I have control. I can do what I want. I have, you know, all the things. But going ahead now, before they even get there, and setting those expectations around what isn't going to happen. What I love about California and a lot of states now is that they already have some lines in the sand. Not as much for Chase because she's already 18, but for Cam, who's 16 and will be turning 17 when she gets her license, about who they can have in the car in the beginning and all that. So they already have some built-in stuff around transitioning slowly for stuff that can be, you know, considered distractions, like friends in the car and stuff like that. But for us too, it's about like, okay, we will start to tie your vehicle to, as a motivator, to other things, right? Like, you know, I used to, as a high school principal, tell parents, you should always have the rule that C's equal no keys, right? Yeah. Your kid is not demonstrating enough responsibility to drive a multiple ton vehicle around other people if they're not responsible enough to do what they need to do at school, right? That's just one example. But what are some of the expectations and the agreed upon future guidelines that you all are going to kind of come up with? Now is the time to start drafting those, right? Like, either mentally with each other out loud or in writing, so that when it's time to actually hand them the keys to drive for the first time by themselves, this is then all a surprise, right? You have plenty of time right now to be building up to that. So those are some of my things. What are your final thoughts about it?
My final thoughts on it is it's just like, you know, I think back to my life coaching and stuff like that. And desire doesn't always equal commitment. You know, and the desire to do something can be very strong, but if you're not committed to the responsibility of it and the full-fledged, you know, aspect of all of it, then you know, the answer is no. And mind you, my daughter's 18, but I could also tell her, no, you're not practicing in my car. However, that leaves her open to practicing with her friends.
Yep.
And her, you know, other friends' parents and stuff like that. And I don't trust that those are going to be the best scenarios. Yeah. So having a plan, learn from my mistake of, or my poor choice. I shouldn't say mistake, because, you know, we don't make mistakes. my poor choice of just hitting go on the Google thing for her to use a map and just get her experience with that. You know, have a plan, take a look at it. Maybe, you know, maybe that's not the best route to take, you know, but we made it through it. The other thing is that, you know, with the desire aspect and tying it to expectations is, you know, if your child is younger than 18 and they're learning how to drive and everything else, just like the C's equals no keys, is whatever, you know, whatever you have set up for your child to accomplish or get done before they get this privilege, and then, and, you know, set that up, but then also how to maintain it and keep it, you know, there's kids out there that desire to have an iPhone at the age of 10, but they're also not brushing their teeth on their own and they will never clean their room and all those things. You don't give the iPhone to those kids.
Exactly.
Okay. You want this? This is what I want.
Exactly.
It's a mutual agreement that if you do these things, then you can get this. And if you maintain these things, you can maintain that. And there's still going to be regulations. There's still going to be times that you can and can't drive or use your phone or whatever it is. You know, and as long as you're following those, we're all gravy.
Exactly.
So that's something I learned a long time ago, is really setting up mutually agreed upon goals.
Yep.
And make sure that we both have, you know, both parties have a good understanding of that. And you hold yourselves accountable to that. Yep. You know, my daughter held me accountable to yelling at her. I don't yell at my kids.
Yep.
And so when that happened, she's like, "You yelled at me." And I'm like, "You know what? I did. And I apologize. I should have never done that. And that was because I was scared." But that's not excuse. And I apologize. I did not mean to traumatize you.
Right.
You know, and And if I never said that, and I just said, well, you were doing this and you were doing that, she probably still wouldn't be talking to me. But it was an hour later and she was fine.
Exactly.
You know, work through it. So I think about that, the longevity of our relationship too, because as soon as you get comfortable and start acting a fool in any relationship, now it's unsettled.
Exactly.
You know, so you always have to really think about, how am I showing up?
Yep.
And how am I maintaining this relationship with this person despite what we're going through? And how can I come out at the end still maintaining that relationship and growing it at the same time? And that's what, you know, these lessons that we've been through the last couple of weeks have really helped with, you know? And that's what I would say, is just have very healthy, clear expectations, have mutually agreed upon goals, and then work towards them and have each other have ways to hold each other accountable.
Yeah, I love it. All right, you guys. So there's going to be more of that, right? That's what we're here to do all year long. And so as we wrap up our first recorded episode of the new year, again, be sure, right, that you are liking, subscribing, all the things. If you've not checked us out on YouTube, we look amazing all the time. So you should definitely
check us out.
Exactly. And yeah, we're looking forward to another incredible year with you guys and maybe a couple more people too. Right?
Yeah.
More. Just a couple.
You know,
let people know. You guys are amazing. Peace. Thanks.
Right. Bye.